When Western Oregon softball players carried an injured opponent around the bases after her home run, they revealed something transcendent about sports. That moment stands in stark contrast to the screening parents and doping scandals that plague athletics. Sports simultaneously showcase humanity at its most sublime and its most broken. This tension lies at the heart of what makes athletic competition both beautiful and dangerous to our souls. As a former competitive swimmer, I understand firsthand how easily the pursuit of excellence becomes corrupted by the desire for self-glory. The truth is, our approach to sports reveals the condition of our hearts more clearly than almost any other activity. What if every game, match, and race could become something more than just competition? What if they could become acts of worship? Sports are divine gifts that promote health and create genuine delight for both participants and spectators. Yet, paradoxically, these activities that cultivate teamwork, discipline, and perseverance can also trigger pride, anger, and selfishness. The contrast is stark. Consider 5-year-olds playing tennis with pure joy versus a father drugging his son's opponents to ensure victory. One shows sports at their most beautiful, the other reveals how human pride can corrupt. During my swimming career, I claimed to love competition, but I really craved the admiration from winning. I hated the grueling practices and early morning sessions. The podium and applause drove me. My participation wasn't about the sport, but about self-glorification. The problem wasn't swimming, but my heart. When sports become vehicles for personal glory, we distort their purpose. This manifests in parents living through their children, athletes willing to cheat, and fans whose emotions hinge on game outcomes. What should bring joy instead produces frustration, disappointment, and moral compromise. Scripture teaches in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Though addressing food sacrificed to idols, Paul's principle extends to athletics. Athletic competition has historically served as worship. The question is, whom we're worshiping? Nike derives from the Greek goddess of victory, and the Olympics honored Zeus. Whether glorifying pagan deities, athletes, or ourselves, we miss sport's true purpose. Glorifying God means living in a way that reflects His goodness. In sports, this means recognizing athletic ability as His gift, competing with integrity, and treating all participants as fellow image-bearers of God. To properly use our athletic gifts, we must know the true God through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, including our self-exaltation in sports. When we truly grasp who God is, everything changes. Competing with awareness that the Creator watches, not to judge performance, but to see if we acknowledge His gifts, transforms athletics. This perspective doesn't diminish competitive drive, but redirects it from self-promotion to worship. We glorify God by thanking Him for His gifts. He chose to design human bodies capable of extraordinary athletic movements and gave us the capacity to experience competition's thrill and improvement satisfaction, all expressions of divine generosity. When did you last thank God before practice or a game for the ability to participate? For healthy limbs that can run, jump, or throw? For teammates, coaches, and the resources enabling your participation? This gratitude isn't mere formality, but recognition of reality. Every breath, heartbeat, and functioning muscle is sustained by God's grace. The equipment, facilities, and transportation are His provision. Even the games we play trace back to His creative design. This grateful perspective transforms sports from recreation into worship. It prevents us from taking His gifts for granted and guards against the entitlement often present in modern athletic culture, the assumption that we deserve playing time, victory, or recognition. Gratitude reminds us that everything in sports is gift, not right. In a sports culture obsessed with self-promotion, humility seems counterintuitive. Yet Scripture teaches that humility draws God's grace. the humble athlete deflects the spotlight to teammates, coaches, and ultimately to God. The humble athlete recognizes limitations, welcomes coaching, acknowledges teammates, shows grace in defeat and modesty in victory, honors coaches, respects officials even amid disagreement, and credits God for achievements. This humility shapes responses to both victory and defeat. In victory, the humble athlete acknowledges collective contributions. In defeat, they accept outcomes without excuses, learn from mistakes, and honor opponents' achievements. Following Christ's example of making himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, transforms athletics. The servant athlete asks, "How can I best serve this team?" rather than, "How can I use this team to serve myself?" Practice becomes about elevating teammates, and games become opportunities for collective success. This servant mindset contradicts modern sports culture's self-promotion. Yet paradoxically, teams of servant athletes often achieve greater success than those dominated by self-seeking stars. Though we don't bow to physical statues today, our hearts still worship idols, especially in sports. We obsess over athletes, build schedules around games, and make them our role models. When our hearts bow to teams or victories rather than God, that's idolatry as real as any ancient practice. To detect if sports have become your idol, examine your heart. Is your passion for sports greater than for Christ, family, or church? Check if sports have displaced God-given priorities, or if game schedules consistently trump church gatherings. Sports idolatry manifests when we define self-worth by performance, let game outcomes determine our emotional well-being, or live vicariously through children's athletic achievements while neglecting their spiritual growth. The consequences are inevitable. Bodies age, teams lose, and children may not meet expectations. When we've invested ultimate meaning in these things, their disappointments crush us. Dethroning sports idols doesn't mean abandoning athletics. Instead, restore sports to their proper place as gifts to be enjoyed rather than gods to be served. When properly positioned, we can enjoy sports more fully while being less devastated by their setbacks. Looking back at my athletic career, I played primarily for personal glory rather than God's, a pattern many athletes might recognize in themselves. The gospel provides our hope. Jesus Christ died for our sins, including our self-exaltation in athletics. His grace offers both forgiveness and strength to overcome future temptations towards self-glorification. When you're fully accepted by God through Christ, you no longer need to prove your worth through performance. Your secure identity as God's beloved child removes the ultimate significance from winning and losing. From this foundation, you can redeem your sports participation. Whether in practice or competition, you can perform everything for God's glory. Each game becomes an opportunity to worship through effort, attitude, and relationships. This redemptive view doesn't diminish competitive drive, but redirects it. Excellence becomes stewardship rather than self-promotion. Victory brings gratitude instead of arrogance, while defeat disappoints but doesn't devastate. Your identity rests on something far more secure than athletic achievement.